This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the minute can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
I'm every trash, EMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Well, somehow we've wound up at Friday again. It seems to happen every week. It is a, as they say in the trade, a football Friday. But not only is it a football Friday, Rick. Oh, no. It is a huge, large baseball Friday. Mets, Padres, just, 15 hours from right now. Before we get to any of it, we have Quinnen Williams today. We go around the league today. We have a frenzy today. We make our picks today. We were all smart to stay away from that Broncos pick last night. Before we get to any of it, I say good morning to Rick DiPietro. Good morning.
Good morning, David. This could be, in fact, the most action-packed show in the history of DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Really? Today. And we've been on for a very long time.
Just think about this. I mean, you mentioned the football frenzies. Around the leagues, picks, Quinnen Williams, most importantly, because we saw how it affected your mood on Monday. Last Monday, we got the Mets wild card game one tonight, baby.
Game one tonight. If they lose tonight, tomorrow morning's going to be a slog fest for me from 9 to noon.
Tomorrow for you will be the football game we watched last night, yeah.
That was
just disgusting.
That was some game, huh?
Ugh.
And you know, I was watching the game and I was becoming annoyed at you. Would you like to know why? I'm going to tell you why. Because you, and you know this is true, and I'd like you to own it, we're pushing for the Giants to make a move for Russell Wilson this offseason. Why would you not? You add Russell Wilson, and you're a different-looking team, and all of a sudden you're closer to, and they did nothing, never approached it, and thank God they didn't.
Hey, New York City, I'm here.
So this for you is all Russell Wilson?
All? No. A lot. Rick, he looks awful.
No, he doesn't look great. Their offense is awful. I mean, yeah, neither team looks good. I mean, Matt Ryan
doesn't look good either. Let's ride.
I mean, they gave him a lot of money.
A fortune.
It's called the Danger Witch.
$250 million.
But when you look at their coach, yeah, I mean,
I
don't know.
Just overwhelmed.
He looks overwhelmed. I don't know. I don't know what Russell Wilson, listen, does he look like the Russell Wilson that we saw in Seattle? No, he doesn't. But, I mean, I don't know what he would have looked like with Brian Daboll. I mean, here's the thing. They had no money anyway. And it's not like the Giants are flush with, you know, flush with weapons and all those other things that they would need to get the best out of Russell Wilson. So, yeah, I mean, that's why they don't do it. But, I mean, we'll be in a spot after the season is over probably still looking to find out what you're going to do with the quarterback.
100%. But is it fair to say clearly Russell Wilson was not the answer for the Giants?
Right now, no. It was not the answer.
Oof, boy, does he... And you're right. The coach is terrible.
The coach is not great. And we talked about this, though. There were a lot of people. I mean, again, this is what makes the NFL so hard. I mean, when they looked at that division and said this is the best division in football, there were people that were picking Denver to win the division, get to the Super Bowl. There were people that were picking Vegas to win the division. Right? But it's...
Well, how many
like it
people
doesn't just instantly it, happen?
How many people in discussing that division without hesitation said that's the best division? Forget about in football. Now, this might be the best division in the history of football. How many people did you hear saying that?
A lot. Well, look at the quarterbacks. I mean, that was the thing. Look at the quarterbacks in this division.
Yeah, but Russell Wilson doesn't look like he's all that good. He just doesn't look like he's all that good.
No, he doesn't. But I think, I mean, first of all, there was going to be growing pains anyway, right? Like, there were growing pains in Tampa when Tom first got to Tampa. Now, it never looked like this. Never looked like this. But it took a minute. And I don't, for whatever reason, I mean, it's some Russ, some coach, whatever it is. I mean, you saw some of the miscommunication last night. It's just, it's bad.
It's brutal. It is brutal. And the Raiders don't look all that great and kind of saved their season last week against the Broncos, who looked terrible. The Chargers always find a way to be, you know, like 500 or around. Is it fair to say we're 4 weeks plus a little into the season that the Chiefs are clearly the best in that division?
Yeah, I think after, the good game this weekend, they'll play Vegas. But yeah, 4 weeks in, they're the best team, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's fair. So, all right, I think I'm excited. I think.
No, don't say you think you're excited. You
don't talk
excited
to me like that. I think I'm excited.
You promised me Friday you would be ready.
No, no. If you listen to what I said.
I'm about to lose control, and I think I like it.
I like Keyshawn in the background. If you heard what I said by game time tomorrow night, I would be all in and I'd be fully excited. Is it game time right now?
No, that's true. You said 7. I gave you till 7.
I said 7 o'clock. So I still have 14 hours before we hit full excitement. Listen, this was really, really tough for me because they had the division. The path, if you won the division, was so different than what it's going to be now. I think you have to cut me some slack.
See, that's what it is for you. It's the path. It's the path that concerns you.
Well, you tell me, would you rather play St. Louis or Philadelphia or the Dodgers?
Well, because I could sit here and tell you, listen, I mean, maybe it's to our benefit that we're actually going to play. Though we won't have there's some rust excuse if things don't go right. Beat up on Washington, feel good about yourself, you know, have a day, and then you're back at it on Friday. But I can't do that because you're right. It is the path. And that was the whole point. Week would be good. Listen, week off is great, especially with Starling Marte and getting your pitching right. But the biggest thing was now I have to face the Dodgers or the Braves as opposed to the Dodgers and the Braves.
Correct.
That's the problem.
Correct. I mean, I don't know that I've ever seen a tougher road than what the Mets would have in front of them, being honest with you.
But we can't do this, though. But I told you this yesterday. We can't do this because
it seems
overwhelming.
Listen, I'm sorry. That's the way I'm wired, though. It's like saying, don't be you. It's like saying, don't work out at 2 in the morning. That's who you are. I can't tell you not to because you're going to do that. That's who you are.
Yeah, but that's not healthy, though. I mean, I wish it wasn't who I was because it's not healthy.
Well, I'm not saying this is healthy and this is appropriate either, but this is who I am. I can't help it. I'm not a look at the one game in front of you and don't look beyond that. I am, let's look, because I say it all the time, championships, that's what I want. That's what I'm here for. That's why I'm in this thing, for championships. And I look at the run for a championship, which maybe I shouldn't do. Fine, I get it. I don't think you're not right with that. But San Diego, Dodgers, Braves, Astros, Yankee, I mean, whoever it is in the World Series, that to me is daunting.
Forget just San Diego. Let's just focus on game one. It's you, Darvish.
Well, so you go Darvish, then you go Snell, then you go Musgrove. Then you maybe get by that. Now you're going, God knows what, Urias and Kershaw and Gonsolin. I mean, it's, I don't know.
You have your hands full with Darvish. I mean, if you look at what Darvish has done against the Mets, you have your hands full against you, Darvish, all right? That right there is hurdle number one, and it's a big hurdle.
You stay up for this game the entire way?
Yes. Friday,
the entire way.
It's a Friday. Are you nuts? I was thinking about going
nuts?
To this game
you
tonight.
You wake up at 2 in the morning. You're not going to nap today.
I was thinking about going to this game tonight.
I think that'd be a lot for you.
It would be a lot. I mean, it's late. Here's the thing, though. And I was trying to explain this to you yesterday. I think, potentially, I'm not saying this is definitely going to happen, but potentially, you could feel a whole lot differently about this team. Because there's a lot of Mets fans that feel the same way that you feel. Not that the regular season was a failure, because it wasn't. You won 101 games. You won the exact amount of games that Atlanta won. But
I agree with you on that. I don't think the regular season was a failure, but I think they collapsed down the stretch.
No, they collapsed in the series. Let's not get it twisted. They collapsed in that series.
That'd be down the stretch.
Okay, but there was a series. But there's a lot of Mets fans that right now are disappointed. What I'm trying to explain to you and the rest of the Mets fans is, you could feel a lot differently about this team in this season and where they're headed if they take care of business in the first two games. Because, yeah, the road is more difficult, but now all of a sudden if I win this series in two games and I have myself set up for the DS with DeGrom in one and Scherzer in two, and the team, I'm having won these two games, means you're playing good baseball. Now you start to build that confidence, right? Now you're like, okay, yeah, it's going to be difficult, but I like where we're at with how this team looks now.
Okay, and realistically, you think there's a real chance that you get to Saturday late night and you're like, all right, we're done with the Padres?
I hope like hell. Yeah.
I know what you hope. I hope the same thing. But you realistically think that's the case?
Realistically, probably not. I think we could be looking at DeGrom pitching game three.
Right. So now think about that. And again, I'm not saying you have to look at the negative, but I think you have to look at everything. So if I have DeGrom pitching game three, what are you, now it's Taiwan Walker game one?
Yeah. It would be Walker game one. And then it'd be Scherzer game two.
So now I'm going to get DeGrom in one game, and that would be game three.
You have to win the series in two. You have to.
So I offer you on the table right now. On the table right now.
Right now, give it to me.
Right now, you can.
What am I sacrificing to get two wins?
I'm giving you right now series in Mets win it Sunday night, three games. On the table.
I'd take it. I would take it.
You take it, and then you're going
to win.
You're right. Listen, I don't think you're wrong, but now it's Walker, game one.
All right, well, go pitch well. Or if you don't pitch well, let's hit well. Well, what am I going to do? I mean, I got to win series, right?
There's nothing you can do.
It's all I can do is win series. I mean, to give yourself the best opportunity against the Dodgers, who are a handful, to say the least, yeah, you'd want DeGrom pitching 1-5. So go take care of business. Listen, you couldn't do it against Atlanta. Do it now. Right?
I hope so, man.
But let's get excited now. Come on. This is playoff baseball, buddy.
I understand.
This doesn't happen for us every season.
I mean, you make it sound like I'm the only person in the world that still feels kind of somewhat despondent about what happened to the Mets.
I'm not speaking to just you. I'm not just speaking to you. I'm speaking to a lot of people look up to you, Dave. I don't know if you know this or not. You should, because every day we get phone calls. You're like the sports fan's mood ring is what you are. And right now I need them to look at the ring, this doughy, beautiful ring, and say, Dave Rothenberg's ready. That's what I need. It's not a lot to ask. It's a lot of pressure. I think it is.
I think it's a lot to ask.
It's your cross to bear, though. It's who you are now.
I mean, I have been through the ringer with this team. I mean, I've watched, again, they played, 162? I probably watched 160 games. Like, I listened to, watched, made appointment, wouldn't make plans. Like, I was so in and so excited. And then they did that last weekend. And then you yelled at me for being depressed on Monday. And now you're yelling at me for not being emotionally ready coming into this series. I mean, you need to cut me some slack.
No, but you can't sit here every day. Not every day. But a lot of the baseball season, and criticize Yankees fans for being spoiled Yankees fans. We wanted the playoffs. Yeah, we all want to. I mean, we all want a World Series. But we got the past is in the past, man. We're in the postseason, baby. Let's go. Let's go. You should
tonight.
Have. I mean, you should already be planning what you're eating tonight. Who you're inviting over? Are you?
I'm
going
not inviting
to the game?
Anybody over. I don't want to watch the game with anybody. I'm not one of those people. I don't enjoy watching sporting events with other people.
I cannot wait. I'm checking yogurt flavors, where I'm going to pick up some yogurt. Like, I'm ready, buddy.
You're ready for this. Until the game, you know, takes forever, and at 11:45, they're still playing, and then you're snoozing on the couch.
No, I won't be snoozing. I'll be hopped up. I'll have C4 ready. I'll have whatever I need, I'll have ready.
I'm getting a fudge dynamite ready? You're going to break out dynamite?
No, I say, yeah, I'll break out whatever I have to break out. It's Ella's birthday today. There'll be Fudgy the Whale cakes. I'll be all hopped up.
You know what? It doesn't matter how old you are. Carvel cakes never get old.
Here's the best thing, though. This is going to be the second Carvel cake in the last 3 days.
Have you ever had a bad piece of Carvel cake?
No, it's ridiculous.
It can't happen.
It doesn't happen.
The little crunchies on the bottom.
Oh, the crunchies.
Right?
Oh, nothing better.
Could you guys get that as a drop? Oh, the crunchies! Yeah,
we had the butterfly cake on Wednesday. Beautiful, beautiful butterfly
really?
Ice cream cake from Carvel. Delicious.
Now, is that something they typically make, or is that just like a special order?
No. Because we call. I said, listen, there's only one decision to be made here, and it's the Fudgy the Whale. Cass called. You don't have to just get Fudgy the Whale. You could get a beautiful butterfly.
Does
with
that
the vanilla,
have a name?
The chocolate, and the crunchies. I don't know, but it was very pretty.
Really?
And it gets, you know what the thing with that is, though? You know, you get the cake sometimes, and you got to go home with leftover. There's no leftovers when you pull out a Fudgy the Whale. The thing gets it gets destroyed.
Or Betty the Butterfly.
Yeah. I was trying to think of a name.
Surprised they don't have a name for it. Who knew this was even an option?
Oh, they got options, baby.
So it's not, you're not only pigeonholed into Fudgy?
No. Listen, I always go with Fudgy.
Right.
Fudgy the Whale is a cake.
For the nostalgia of Fudgy. But you start talking, yeah, they got the butterfly. Very nice.
I mean, you learn things every day on the show.
This is what we do.
We teach, we educate. This is why we are commencement.
How about
speakers.
they got the strawberry crunchy cake now too?
I didn't even know that existed.
Hell yeah. You know that delicious strawberry bar you get from the ice cream truck?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, just like that.
In a cake. Wow.
In a cake form.
That's delightful.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Fangraphs, a very reputable service, right? You love Fangraphs, don't you?
It depends on what you're going to tell me, yeah.
All right. Well, they came out with their World Series odds for every playoff team. World Series odds.
Okay.
All right. What do you think the favorite to win the World Series is?
Favorite to win the World... The Dodgers.
Santi, give him the big buzzer. That is incorrect. Not the Dodgers.
Is it American League or National League?
Come on.
Yeah, that seems too easy. That's a good question, though.
Yeah, but you're trying to bait me into giving you an answer, which then gives you the answer.
The Houston Astros.
Number one. Houston Astros, 17.5% to win the whole thing. Number two?
Atlanta Braves.
Ding, ding, ding. Number two, 16.5% to win the whole thing. Number three?
Okay, there you go. Right there, though. Right there. That should tell you. Yeah, we lost. Series sucks. But that does not mean that you should be so negative.
Just continue, please. Number three?
Dodgers.
Correct. 14.9%. Number four?
Number four is... It's not going to be the Mets, otherwise you wouldn't have brought this list up. I'm going to go with... Number four is... The Yankees.
Number four
is, so I got Astros, I got Braves, I got Dodgers.
Off the board.
I'm going to go with the Mets.
The Mets!
Yes!
That's correct. That's why I'm bringing it up. I'm trying to add some positivity here.
I couldn't tell if you're trying to be super negative or you were trying to
bring
some positivity.
See, that's the genius that is me. You couldn't get, there was no tell.
There was no good. You had no tell.
No tell.
You at Texas Hold'em would be, I mean, dynamic.
I don't even know how to play poker. I agree. I think once I learned, I would be like a genius, but I don't even really know how to play.
Yeah, but I think you would be great for a couple reasons. No tell. Clearly, you have no tell. I couldn't read you at all. And the other one is, with your personality, you would just sit there for as long as it would take.
Oh, I would grind it down.
You would grind
to
it
the
right
nubs.
On. That's important.
Just to be able to play it forever.
I would have loved to see you on our team planes playing playing poker after like
crazy.
after a big win.
I would have gone crazy. So Mets 11.1% to win the whole thing, followed by the Yankees at 10.3%. So the Mets clearly have the highest odds of any wild card team that's involved in this first round, and a higher chance than a team that gets a bye in the Yankees.
All right, so there you go.
So there I go.
Are you ready now?
No, not yet. But I will be. I'm telling you, I will be. This was a very difficult pill for me to swallow.
You love this team, right?
I loved this team.
No, you can't. No. You can't do that. You love this team, right?
I loved this team. I can fall back in love, but I've been heartbroken.
It's supposed to be unconditional, though. This love that we speak.
Well, I'm sorry. I mean, they burned me. I'm like a lover scorned. I mean, once that happens, now it's hard to fall back in love because I love hard.
I know you love hard, but we didn't win the division, yes, but we're still in the playoffs. This wasn't like if you don't win one of these three games, you're not going to make the playoffs. We're in the playoffs. We're hosting three games.
Yeah.
At Citi Field. We got Max Scherzer on the mound. You just read the odds.
Fourth. 11%. That's a decent chance.
You don't think that everyone in that clubhouse realizes what's at stake right now?
I'm sure they do.
After how this regular season played out, 170 days with the outright lead. 101 wins. And if they lose this series, how this season will be remembered?
If the Mets lose this series, is it a failure?
Yes.
A failure.
It's absolutely a failure.
Wow. If the Yankees lose in the DS, is it a failure?
Yes.
If the Yankees win in the DS and lose to the Astros, is it a failure?
No. No, I don't think so. The Astros are better.
But going now, into the season, you can decide. That's what everyone said, right? Everyone said Yankees have to get to the World Series. Yankees have to win the World Series.
I understand that. But I think that's the same reason I would say that was not a failure is the same reason why I would say if the Mets lost in the wild card, it would be a failure. How many people are picking the Mets, honestly? How many people are picking the Mets to win the division this offseason?
I don't think a ton.
Okay, or win 101 games.
I don't think a ton.
Okay, so but now you have to readjust your expectations once you see what happens during the season.
Here's what I need. Go out there, win the series, let's move on. Monday morning, let's be excited. That's all I'm looking for. Can we do that? Baby steps?
That's all that matters.
Eric in Queens. Hi, Eric. You're on 98.7.
What's going on, Jen? How you guys doing this morning?
We're doing good. How you doing, buddy?
Good. Like Rick says, you know, we won 101 games, take it series by series, win by win, and that's it. That's all we can do.
That's it. That's where you're at. And the guys know that in the clubhouse. This is where we're at. This is why you play the 162. This is why you play the 82. This is why. It's to put yourself in a spot to compete and win a championship. And they all realize they let one slip. That it would have been. It's not going to. No one said it would ever be easy, but their best path to a World Series was winning the division. They screwed it up. So now they have to fix it.
That's right. This is now the hand that you've been dealt. Unfortunately, Jim. I mean, and Rock.
Did you expect the Rangers to be in the Eastern Conference Finals? No.
No. God no.
No. All right.
Well, what does that have to do with anything?
Because listen, I mean, you never know what's going to happen in the postseason.
We've seen this team.
We've watched this team this season feel like they couldn't lose. Like, I remember when you were off doing shows and me saying during, like, I think in the open of a show, like, okay, end the season now. Let's bubble wrap all our guys and let's go because we're ready. Bring on anybody. We'll beat them. Like, that, I've had that feeling during the course of this season. So they're capable of doing it. Well, now let's see it.
Okay, fine. I would love to see it. Love to see it. Jim in Rocky Point. Now we'll go to you. Jim, good morning.
Hey, gentlemen. Good morning and happy Friday, guys.
Happy Friday.
So, I'm a Yankees fan, but sitting back and looking at this, if the Mets can make it through this gauntlet, which they can compete with every team that they're going to have to compete against in these playoffs, San Diego, arguably they're a better team. Arguably, they are a better team than San Diego. The Dodgers, that's going to be a battle. It's a five-game series, right? So that's going to be a real battle right there. But if they make it through that, and then most likely Atlanta, I mean, that's a gauntlet right there. And if they make it through that, I would be really, you know, optimistic heading into the World Series.
Oh, I mean, come on. Of course you would. if they get by San Diego, the Dodgers, and Atlanta, you're really breaking it down.
He's a Yankee fan, though. Let him finish.
I'm a Yankee fan because I'm going to push for that because I want to see you in the World Series. I want a Subway Series. Of course I do.
You don't want any part of that.
Who doesn't want that?
Jim, the last thing you would want is the Mets to beat the Padres, the Dodgers, the Braves, and me standing there looking you in the eye. You wouldn't want any part of that.
I'm ready for it, brother. And if the Mets do make it through that gauntlet, that's comparable to the 07 Giants run to the Super Bowl. You gentlemen have a good weekend.
Thank you, and no, it's not.
Well, listen, I mean, that's a pretty damn good run.
It's a great run. But
You make it all the way through that and win a World Series? Are you kidding me?
The Giants beat an undefeated team.
I get it. I understand. We don't spend enough time on that.
I'll spend the whole show. We can be DiPietro Rothenberg on the 07 Giants. I'll do months on that if you want.
If I had that in my life with the Jets, anytime I felt down about my sports teams, I would just go back.
Revisit that?
Yes.
Let's revisit it for a moment, shall we?
Oh, my God.
So they go to Tampa. They're not expected to win that game. They beat the Bucs. Great. Fine. And now they go to Dallas. And Dallas hands out championship game tickets to the players before because they just assume they're going to beat the Giants. And Santiago, this is for you. Then the Giants beat the Cowboys. Romo, biggest spot. Just a typical Romo. Can't get it done. Giants move on. Green Bay. Freezing. The coach's face looks like it's going to fall off. They win in miraculous fashion, field goal by Tynes, and then they take on the undefeated Patriots and don't just beat them. Beat them with what turns out to maybe be the most iconic play in the history of the NFL, the catch from Tyree. That's a run, my friend.
That's a run.
That's a run.
That is a run.
You're right. We should do
that. I don't even like the Giants, and that put a smile on my face.
You know, it's a good idea. Whenever I'm down, why don't we revisit the run?
Look at how happy you are right now.
I'm so happy.
You're so happy.
It was so good. I'm not kidding. It was so. I mean, it's 15 years ago. So good.
And now your team's 3-1.
We're coming full circle now.
All full. Circle of life.
Here we go. But I was on Green Bay radio yesterday. By the way,
why were you on Green
Milwaukee
Bay radio? Look at you.
Yeah. I'll tell you on the other side.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why?
Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
How do you feel about Landon Collins making his return to the Giants this weekend?
I like it.
I like it, too.
I like it a lot. And I'll tell you why I like it. Because I think that Wink Martindale... And just listen to what Wink Martindale said about the actual signing. We'll find a way to make it work and put him in a spot where he can actually be in a position to get the most out of what he brings to the table. Which, again, speaks to how impressed I've been with the coaching staff of the Giants so far.
Couldn't agree with you more. Now, like I told you, and I said I'd explain it, so I was asked by management here to go on radio in Milwaukee yesterday. And it's funny, so I go on, and the first question, I don't remember what it was, like the Giants something, and I answer it, and then he was clearly a man in studio. The next guy that asked the question, I was like, what's the matter with his line? He's in London, and he said, I'm sorry, I'm just walking by Big Ben right now.
Like, all right, he was doing the show from a cell phone?
He was doing the show from his cell phone in London.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but they sent him to London.
Yeah, but what kind of hack station are you on where they don't have him set up with a comrade?
It's the big station in Milwaukee.
Well, it ain't that big. It ain't that big.
It's a big station.
I don't feel comfortable making phone calls in as a guest on a cell phone because I'm afraid my line is going to be crap.
And I guess he was really like the guy that carried the interview because he asked like 3 or 4 questions in a row. And the other guy was just like, how good are the bagels in New York?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Come on. That was the question?
So then they pushed me into a wager.
No. Tell me you're getting the 8 points.
Yeah, I'm getting 8.5.
Okay, good.
Yeah. So apparently, and this is what I do for you guys, apparently, and I didn't want to get into, I'm not supposed to gamble the whole thing. So if I lose, I'm supposed to send them a dozen bagels. If I win, they're supposed to send you guys the finest beer. And I even did it for you guys, the finest beer that Wisconsin has to offer.
All right.
Right?
Nice.
Very nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then like the one guy was like, so the Giants running game, like very like a detailed question as he's walking, you know, Big Ben Parliament, the whole thing. And then the other guy's like, is Westchester considered upstate New York?
So that's what this guy, this one guy, the in-studio guy was bringing to the table.
The in-studio guy clearly wasn't as big a sports guy, and the guy doing a tour of London while he was interviewing me seemed like he was really the bigger sports guy, yes.
Yeah, the guy in studio was planning a vacation is what he was doing.
Yeah. Apparently his daughter lives in Queens, and he talked to his daughter earlier in the day and said, hey, we're having a sports talk show host from New York, and I thought that he was going to say she's a huge fan of yours. That's not what he said at all. He said, I told her you live in Westchester, and she said, that's actually upstate New York. I said, that might be the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Which is not. Westchester's not upstate.
No.
How long has she been living here?
That's insulting, actually.
For her.
Well, for us people from the actual upstate.
Everyone involved.
Yeah.
I mean, you're from Brockport, or wherever you're from.
Rochester, you animal.
What? Yeah, well, he went to Brockport, but he's from Rochester. That's upstate.
Yeah.
Albany, upstate. Buffalo, upstate. Syracuse, upstate. Westchester is not upstate.
Westchester, very bougie.
Yeah.
This very bougie.
Rough towns that you wouldn't be able
rough
to
towns.
Walk through.
Rough towns. You have three houses on your cul-de-sac.
Mm. Gives off the impression of upstate because everything's so spread out because everyone has so much
money.
Oh,
it's so spacious.
So much money.
Get double plowed. I mean, how many families get double plowed?
It's because my neighbor's a savage animal and he's crazy about being able to get the car out of the driveway. That's nothing to do with me.
I hope you get triple plowed this year. Oh, I would love that.
It's supposed to be a rough winter.
That's not very nice.
Why are you being so mean? I don't want the double plow today.
Because I think I know people like revved up Dave, and nothing gets you more revved up than the double plow. So could you imagine what the triple plow would do to you?
Do you know how much money the triple plow would be?
Oh, it'd be, I mean.
It's like over $200.
Oh.
Uh-oh. For one snowfall?
One snowfall, triple plow.
What's that
pricey
kind of money? Early risers will get work.
That's a bad PPS plow per snow.
That is not a great PPS.
200 per PPS is no good.
No, it's terrible. Although I'm thinking with the length of your driveway, Rick, you're probably 200 just on the normal, right?
Oh, I actually don't even know.
I think Interstate 90 is shorter.
No, it's not. Wow. That's, stop it. Would you please?
Can you see? Here's my question.
Can you
see the house from the beginning of the driveway?
I don't think so. You need an easy pass halfway through.
Can you honestly? And there's also a gate, right, RJ?
There's a gate. He has one of those things, the overhangs where it flashes so it can see your license plate so it charges you properly. It has one of those also.
Oh, you're funny. Now, isn't there also like an intercom system where like you pull up and you have to press a button and say, like, RJ's here?
It's very overwhelming, yeah.
Proceed to the front gate. Yeah. It's about a half mile down.
Stay to the right, otherwise you'll hit the tennis courts.
You'd be amazed at how many people don't know how to use that box, though. They have no idea. Never. It's alien to them. They've never seen it before.
You know why? Because most people haven't come across intercoms at gates.
It's very easy, though. I don't understand why there's such a problem with it.
So let's just go back here. See, I love what you're trying to do. You're deflecting, and it's beautifully done. Very well done. Because every July 1st, you get a cash influx. So here, let me ask this now. RJ, there's a fully functional, operational electronic gate with a full intercom system. And on top of that, when you get to the gate, you can't see the home. Is that accurate?
That's all accurate.
Wow. And you're making fun of me?
No one made fun of anybody. I just said you live in a very bougie neighborhood where there's only three homes. Yeah, it's very nice.
You think there's three homes in my neighborhood?
Lots of acreage.
Unusable acreage. It's great.
You got a dog run? I mean, you got everything going.
We built the dog run.
With
our own hands.
You think RJ has enough room for a dog run in his place?
RJ lives in the city.
Okay, I'm just saying. Santiago has a beautiful condo. He has no dog run.
They have a dog run. They have a putting green. They have everything in that.
There's no dog run.
You have a putting green?
No. We've been over this. What he thought was the putting green is actually the little dog park that they have.
So they have a dog run.
It's not a dog run.
It's fancier.
It's not a dog run.
Dog park is
fancier, though.
What the hell is a dog? How is a dog park and a dog run differ?
To me, a dog run is a place that you just leave the dog and it can run around with you not being there. Dog park, you actually have to supervise the dog because other dogs show up.
Who leaves their dogs by themselves?
You do.
No. What are you talking about?
You come back to complete disasters from
just them. The fact that he used the sentence, he mistook the dog park for a putting green, tells you exactly the kind of place he's living in.
These are rich people problems.
These are rich people
problems. Hold on, time out.
You are people with actual driveways. I don't have a driveway.
Well, no, because you know, all appliances are stainless steel.
And everything's taken care of.
It's a big deal, yes.
The saltwater pool's in the way.
Yeah, like people are taking care of your saltwater pool. They're taking care of the dog park.
Is there a doorman on call?
There are no doormen. Uh-huh. I don't know where this comes from.
Stainless steel appliances. By the way, and I meant to bring this up at the time. Was I the only one that caught when Spike was all over the radio talking about how he had a place he rents out in the Villages? Yeah. Did you hear that?
I did, but it felt at the time as the man was pouring out his heart to us. To it felt strange to bring it up at that point. But yes, every time he mentioned it, because I heard him on a few shows do it, I thought of you immediately.
Every time he said it, I laughed.
It's swinging Spike.
I wanted someone to ask him, like, hey, what, Spike, what does the red loofah mean? If I put out the red loofah, what does that mean?
Didn't you say there's a documentary on the Villages?
The Villages is wild, buddy.
Have you seen this documentary?
I have. I've read about it. No, I haven't seen it yet. Wild.
You're in the midst of watching nothing now?
What am I watching now? No, I'm not watching anything. Sports.
Sports.
That's it.
Okay.
Consumes my life.
Are we talking about the same Spike?
Yes.
You didn't hear Spike?
Yeah, he has a place.
That's where he went to
the
during the hurricane. He's like, we took time off and went to the Villages.
So it's like an advertisement for him.
They have a place. He has a place in the Villages.
You think Spike is like a kingpin down there or something?
He's swinging Spike.
It's called Some Kind of Heaven. Looks wild.
I'm sure it is. You know what else is wild? The NFL. And so is Around the League.
It's time to go Around the League.
Let's go around the league, and it's brought to you, as always, by Jackpocket. Well, Sunday morning, things get started over in London. Giants and the Packers. The number's 8 on that one. We'll get into that game a little bit later in the 7 o'clock hour. But let's start with the non-local teams. 1 o'clock. Did you see this might be the largest number we've had of the season so far. Pittsburgh at Buffalo. Rick, Buffalo is favored by 2 full touchdowns. Bills at home, 3-1, minus 14 against the Steelers.
Yeah, it feels like this could be one of the games that Buffalo just destroys.
Hammers
somebody.
Them.
Here's the thing. I was strongly considering this game because I feel like Buffalo is going. I mean, this is Kenny Pickett's first start in
Buffalo.
I don't
think I can take a team laying 14.
Okay, Buffalo plays Kansas City the following week. So is there any look ahead from them? When they win big. I know they had that great comeback against Baltimore, but, I mean, Buffalo is... do you still feel like Buffalo is the best team in the NFL?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, Steelers' offensive line stinks. They can't run the football. And, I mean, they just lost to the Jets, and Kenny Pickett threw 3 interceptions.
Yeah. I mean, how about that, Kenny Pickett? Welcome to the NFL. You know, you start at home, not an awful way to start your career, and now you go to Buffalo. Good luck.
Yeah, there is no way that Mike Tomlin wanted to get him in as quickly as they had to get him in.
No, I think they felt like they kind of had no choice. Don't you agree with me, though? Buffalo's the best team in the NFL?
Buffalo's great.
Where's the Kansas City game next week?
Kansas City.
Oh, boy. Is that a standalone game? Please tell me it is.
I can tell you in a second.
Is that a next Sunday night or a Monday night affair?
It's got to be, doesn't it?
I would hope so. Please, it's not.
No, it's not. 425 at Kansas City.
All right, 425 at least makes it palatable. But tell me that shouldn't be the Sunday night game next week.
I mean, that's definitely a game that everyone on the Buffalo Bills team has circled on their calendar.
But I don't understand that, to be serious with you. You knew before the season that would probably be the one game that you had to watch, right?
Yes.
How could they not make that a standalone game?
Great question.
Isn't it? Chargers at the Browns, a battle of two teams that are 2-2. Chargers the favorites on the road in this one. Laying 2.5. A lot of people pronounce the Chargers as dead. They wouldn't come back from this. You know, Keenan Allen is out, and Rashawn Slater is out, and Bose is out. But you know what? A little premature, as they had their way with Houston last week, and now they travel to Cleveland this week.
I like the Chargers. I think they're a good team. Browns will get Myles Garrett back. Jacoby Brissett's played well for them. Amari Cooper, I mean, him and Brissett clearly have chemistry. They got a good tight end. I mean, can the Chargers stop the run? And that's what it's going to come down to with the Chargers. Because the Browns can run the hell out of the football.
And that's all they want to do. They want to run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. They have two running backs who are very good and then work off the play action. You know who else has been good this year? And Njoku's been good this year for them as well.
Yep.
I won't be touching that one. I'll say that right now. Bears at the Vikings. The Bears are lousy. They're 2-2. We had a taste of that last week when they played the Giants. And somehow, some way, Rick, the Vikings sit here at 3-1. They were 1-0, and everyone loved them. Then everyone fell off the bandwagon when they got hammered by Philadelphia. Then they looked awful and still won against Detroit, and looked awful again and got fortunate to win in London against New Orleans. So it's 1 o'clock at home against the Bears. You figure they'll win this one.
Yeah, I think they will win this one. The Bears offense stinks. I mean, they're hesitant to throw the football.
I think the Bears might be the worst team in the NFL.
I don't think that you're wrong or far off. I just feel bad for Justin Fields. The thing with Minnesota is Kirk Cousins, man. I mean, they got killed by Philly because Kirk Cousins can't play in primetime. He just can't do it. It's not possible for him.
No. Lions, Patriots. So, what's his name? Zappi is the quarterback now in New England, huh?
Bailey Zappi.
Yeah, it's going to be either Zappi or I guess they say somehow it could be Mac Jones, but I find that hard to believe.
I think it's going to be Zappi. I saw some of the video of Mac Jones practicing. It doesn't, he could do it, but it doesn't look great.
And the Lions are 1-3. I'll tell you what, though.
I'm dabbling in this game, I think.
Are you?
I may dabble.
You might dabble. DeAndre Swift is going to be out in this game as well. He's not going to play again.
It doesn't sound like St. Brown's going to play either.
So I know you're dabbling with New England is where you're dabbling.
If I were to dabble, I think I would dabble with New England.
Seahawks at the Saints. Seattle is 2-2. Geno Smith has looked much better than a lot of people thought he would, and they travel to New Orleans to take on the Saints. Saints give it a 5.5 in this one.
This spread seemed weird to me a little bit. I know New Orleans is tough at home, but Seattle has played good football. Geno Smith is completing 77% of his passes right now.
I mean, he looks competent. He looks like a good NFL quarterback. I don't know that he is, but that's what he looks like right now.
I know. I mean, he's got better numbers than Russell Wilson has right now.
Alvin Kamara will be back for New Orleans this week as well.
That may be the reason why I don't dabble with this game, is because he's back. And New Orleans is a tough place to play.
It's interesting. So what's the deal with when you go to London now? You have the option of getting next week off, or you can just come back and play?
Yeah, because the Vikings are playing this week.
Right, and the Giants are playing next week.
Yep.
Falcons at the Buccaneers. It's been a tough week for Tom Brady. I guess he's a little banged up as well, but this is a big spread. Bucks are favored by 9.5.
This number's gone up. He feels great. It looks like Pitts hasn't practiced. Patterson's on the IR.
Right.
The Falcons have been a surprise for me. I did not expect the Falcons to be as competitive. I mean,
Falcons
they're 2-2.
Are 2-2, and the two losses they could have won.
Yeah, but I think this is one of those get-right games for the Bucs.
You think they hammer them?
Well, their defense got embarrassed. Tom Brady's going through a bunch of stuff. Says he feels great now. You're right, he was dinged up. Shoulder was sore, but he says he feels great. They're getting the receivers back. I can't imagine. Like, their defense got...
They
always like to bet on. I like to bet on a good team that gets embarrassed the previous week.
So. Titans and the Commanders. This is not the most attractive of games, but Tennessee has kind of righted the ship, and they were 0-2, and now they're sitting here at 2-2. Washington stinks.
Okay, but here, let me ask you a question. So, Washington stinks. They can't protect their quarterback. Tennessee seems like they figured it out. This number opened at 2.5. It's now down to 1.5. Tennessee laying 1.5. How is that possible?
So this is the exact game that I would say I like Tennessee, and then I would say, you know what, I can't take them because it makes no sense. The games that make no sense, I'm steering clear of this season.
I got into a fight with my father-in-law last night. He's like, Tennessee. I'm like, yeah, but why would this game open at 2.5 and now it's dead? Money is coming in Washington.
You know,
it's down to 1.5.
I felt the same exact way last night. I love the Broncos. I didn't understand. I avoided it, and thank God I did. And I will do the same thing with this game. When it makes no sense, I'm passing. Texans at the Jaguars. The Texans are the only winless team in the NFL now, correct?
That is correct.
And that you'd have to imagine the Jaguars laying 7. That will continue this week.
Yeah, I think Trevor Lawrence was awful. And I know it was raining, the conditions were bad, but I mean, 4 fumbles, interception, he wasn't very good. And I think the Jaguars are a pretty good team. I think they're a pretty good team.
I agree with you. I think they're well coached. Their defense is tough. They're physical. Like, you feel like you've been in a football game when you're done with Jacksonville.
Yeah, I remember they had they were up 14-0 on Philly.
Well, I remember.
So I this was a game I was considering taking.
You have a lot of games you're considering.
Yeah, there was like 6 games that I had that I was interested in.
We move to the 4 o'clock games. Three games at 4 o'clock on Sunday. Niners at the Panthers. Niners laying 6.5. Carolina stinks. I mean, their defense is pretty good. McCaffrey's still a weapon. But boy, oh boy, they are not a good football team.
No, they're not. And Baker Mayfield's lucky that Sam Darnold is not back and healthy enough to play because he hasn't been good.
Apparently he's not close to coming back either.
Yeah, he had the high ankle. What do you have, 9 passes batted down in the last game?
It's awful.
To the point where he's asking the media, listen, if you had any drills that I could do.
Yeah, do you have any suggestions for how I can improve this?
Yeah, I would imagine that the Niners win this one.
I would think so too, but I get nervous. Short week, coming off an emotional victory. I'm not involving in this one. Cowboys at the Rams. Explain to me from what we've seen through four
games.
It's
the sketchiest number.
How the Rams are 5.5-point favorites, please.
Not only 5.5. This game opened at the Rams -4, and it's up to 5.5.
So all the money is being laid on the Rams in this one. How?
I have no idea. Maybe they're just. My only thought would be this is that it's just San Francisco owns the Rams. So we're going to dismiss what we saw in that game because San Francisco, Kyle Shanahan, regular season.
You say that, and it's fair, but the Rams have not looked good the entire season.
No, and their offensive line is decimated.
And there's
two guys that he throws the ball to. Cooper Kupp
and Higbee.
That's it. And they don't run the
what
ball.
What has
they
happened
can't
with Allen Robinson?
They don't throw it to him.
How do you go from being a guy on Chicago who is almost unguardable to you go to the Rams and they can't find a way to get you the ball?
I don't know.
Right?
I don't know. The trust is not there. He's not open. I guess
something is broken.
Actually, I saw a stat. Who was it? I think it was Orlovsky had the stat. So from last year to this year, I think this was the stat, is that he, of 145 qualified receivers, he ranks 144th for yards of separation.
Well, let me guess. Galladay.
Probably.
Yeah.
He's just not open. He doesn't get open.
He's just not open. Well, that's a problem. Eagles-Cardinals. Eagles given 5.5. At some point, you'd think Philly has to lay an egg, no?
I've been riding them like Seabiscuit. I don't know, man. Their offensive line is great. Jalen Hurts is playing really well. They got two really good wide receivers. They find a way. I mean, it didn't look if they're down 14-0. No problem.
Yeah, no problem. And even when they were down 14-0, you still were not like, yeah, they're going to lose this game. You still thought they were probably going to come back and win it.
No, and I don't like Arizona at all.
No, Arizona does not look like they're clicking on many, if any, cylinders at the moment. Bengals-Ravens, this is a delightful Sunday night game. Bengals and the Ravens. Ravens giving 3.5. Can the Ravens lose any more painful games at home?
I hope not. I really do. I think they're a good team. I think Lamar Jackson is awesome. For some reason, that defense cannot hold the lead. The back end of that defense.
The secondary is not good.
It hasn't been good, no. It has not been good.
It really hasn't. That's a good game, though, on Sunday Night Football.
Great game. And by the way, Cincinnati destroyed Baltimore last year.
Twice.
In the two games.
Yeah, they destroyed them. And then the Monday night affair we have on ESPN, another good one. Raiders at the Chiefs. Chiefs have looked really, really good so far this season. I don't know how they lost to Indianapolis, but they did. That's their only loss. They're 3-1, and Kansas City lays 7 in this one.
Are you considering this game?
No.
No, you're not going to? Really?
No. I have my 3 games, and I will not deviate.
Wow, look at you. Patrick Mahomes has a ton of success against the Raiders, and the Raiders haven't looked great. I know they won last week, but they haven't looked great at all. Kansas City, I mean, Patrick Mahomes, I don't care what anyone says. I know you love Josh Allen.
Love Josh Allen.
Patrick Mahomes is different level, man. The stuff he does is... The stuff he does, you're not supposed to try
games. He really is. He is absolutely phenomenal. And you know what? With Kansas City, their defense is better, seemingly, than it's been.
Yes, defense is better.
Right? And there
I like
you
the
have
kid.
It.
I like that rookie running back too. I like him.
He's little.
I just picked him up, by the way, in fantasy.
Oh, that's good to know.
Spent ten bucks on him. How about that?
You look at you really spending your money now. I'm impressed with you on the waiver wire. Where are you? What's your record?
I'm on a losing streak right now.
Which means what's your record?
I'm 1-3.
I'm also 1-3.
I'm all hurt, though. But everyone's hurt, though.
Everyone's hurt. I have Kamara and DeAndre Swift. Do you want to complain to me about injuries?
No, I can't.
Okay.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Rick, this guy is really kind of coming to his own. It is Quinnen Williams who joins us here on 98.7 ESPN. Quinnen, we appreciate a couple minutes. How you doing this morning, buddy?
Doing good. How you doing?
Good. So let me ask you, you look at the schedule. It's a rough start. You play the AFC North. Your team, you personally, you must be pretty pleased being 2-2, I would think, through the first four games of the season, right?
Winning football games generally is the main objective on playing football in itself, man. And you wish you can go 4-0 and win every single football game, but you can't. And the NFL got great football teams and great guys on the other side of the ball, but just a tremendous effort, a tremendous guys that we have on our team that just keep stacking days and keep getting better and better each week in and week out. Definitely feel like it's coming into the spotlight, especially like last week when with all the interceptions and all the big plays that being made was a big thing on executing and communicating. So, yeah.
Quinnen, personally, so Dave mentioned the record 2-2. You guys are 2-0 on the road, but you personally, I mean, there's high expectations for you. We all understand how good you can be. Where would you say you're at here four games into the season?
Well, four games in, man, I feel like I'm not nearly where I want to be at. I feel like I'm in a good spot. I'm trying to get to where I want to be at. Just leaning on the defensive line room and the great guys. And like John Franklin Myers, which is a great edge rusher and a great interior rusher that have all the ability to do whatever he want to do in his career to help me out and do different things that we can do to be a great unit, first and foremost, to help me be a great player. So,
Quinnen, listen, part of your job is to get to the quarterback. We know that. And obviously there's pressure on you to get the pressure every single week. Knowing what Miami has, knowing the weapons that they have in Waddle and Gesicki and certainly Tyreek Hill, is there a more heightened kind of we have to get to the quarterback this week to make it harder on that QB, and obviously it's going to be Teddy Bridgewater, so that our secondary is not in deep water on Sunday afternoon?
Man, every week, man, I think that's why the Jets brought such an amazing group of guys and nine people to line on in to go by every single game like that, because great quarterbacks in the NFL. And you have to disrupt these quarterbacks so they'll pick you apart. But going against an explosive offense like this, that's definitely a mindset you have to have to disrupt the quarterbacks and to do the different things that you can help this team to win, to help the team to help the back end on the back end. But we got some great guys in the defensive back end, like Sauce Gardner, DJ Reed, and different guys back there that can hold their own weight. But just executing as a whole defense and executing as a whole core is definitely detrimental to the success that we have.
Quinnen Williams joins us here on the show. Quinnen, how important was it for you guys to add those veteran pieces this year to this team, to this defense?
Oh, it's definitely important, man. Definitely not even just veteran pieces, but just guys that can ball out. Like, Sauce Gardner is not a veteran just yet, but he's a guy that's been balling out week in and week out. And then even though OTAs and guys like Jermaine Johnson and different young guys who come in and their attributes are through the roof, that's balling out through the roof, man. But having these new guys like Carl Lawson back and Jordan Whitehead back there, man, and DJ Reed added to the team, who's a great veteran guy who played a lot of football, has a lot of experience and doing well, just help this team become a better unit and help this defense become a better unit. So,
Quinnen Williams with us here, 98.7 ESPN. So I always want to ask this to someone like you, because, I mean, you played at Alabama. You played for Nick Saban. How much of an advantage is it to play for, I mean, maybe it's Belichick and Saban as the two best coaches in all of, forget about NFL, all of football, period, right now. How much of an advantage is it for you or anybody that comes into the league playing for Saban and playing for Alabama in college?
Playing for Alabama in general, man, you know, I'm biased. I think Alabama is the best college in the world, and I think Coach Saban is one of the best coaches of all time and developing football players to be the best they can be on the field and off the field. And I think that's the huge advantage. Like, he teaches you different things, not only just football, but just off the field, different things that that you lean on, especially getting into the NFL with different mindsets like hard work and dedication and commitment and effort and toughness. And he's a huge personal mindset, and I think that's the biggest thing that I think that Alabama football players in general have on any other football player is Coach Saban really instilled in you a mindset to have week in and week out and through anything, through negativity or positivity or success or no success. So having that mindset that Coach Saban had instilled in you as an Alabama football player, I think goes with you for the rest of your career. And you can see why different guys be so successful in the NFL or either so many guys as captains from Alabama in the NFL.
Quinnen, I just want to know this, and you don't have to get too in-depth, but I just want to make sure like everything is good between you and your defensive coordinator. Like, you guys are all good?
Oh yeah, everything is great between us, man. That's my dog.
Yeah, because listen, people don't understand. Like, you had that, so you went after, you didn't go after, but it got heated on the sideline. You and Aaron Whitecott, and it got heated. But I personally haven't played, I played in the NHL, but I appreciate that. Like, you should be able to have that kind of passion. I don't care if it's your coach or not, but is that something that now with kind of where you're at in your career as one of the leaders on this team, is that, like, in spots like that, just because, you know, at the competition is so heightened that you feel like you could step up now and say something like that?
No, the way it came off, especially to the media, like we were screaming at each other and different stuff like that, but I look at it like we were just having a loud conversation, and then, like, right after that, me and my coach hugged it out and talked about different stuff like that. Like, football is like a violent gladiator sport, so when you're in that mode, when you're in that moment, getting on the same page, it looks like an argument, but it's really not an argument. You're just getting on the same page and having a small communication with each other so you guys can make the best of each other. Every single person on this staff wants the best for every single player on this staff, and every single player on this staff wants to do their best to do their best for the coaches on this staff. So it's no hard feeling between no coaches or no players on this staff at all. So we're in all the same boat to go to the Super Bowl. Yep. We all need each other to go to the Super Bowl. So that's a big thing we always speak on. So.
All right, good. We're glad things are good. We are glad you guys are winning football games, and we're excited to watch the game against the Dolphins on Sunday. And Quinnen Williams, we appreciate a couple minutes this morning. Thanks so much, buddy.
All right, thank you.
All right, very good. So there you go. Your star defensive lineman, Quinnen Williams, here on 98.
See, I appreciate that, though. Like, I appreciate that. Like, all the good teams that I ever played on, like, there would be situations like that. There would be guys fight. Like, it was so competitive.
Yeah, I don't think it's the thing is, we see it, and when you see it, it kind of upsets you, but I don't really think it's that big of a deal.
No, but it's better to have it out like that, like in the heat of the moment, and then you go, like, you say what you got to say, you hug it out afterwards, rather than let it fester. Like, the worst team's the ones no one says anything, and then you're in the back corners in these little cliques, like, you know, criticize, this guy sucks, we hate the coach. It's like, no,
that's how you become a losing football team.
Exactly right. Like Tortorella, that's why I love Torts, is he's like, listen, you got a problem, come tell me. I'm going to tell you exactly what I feel, what my thoughts, and if yours aren't the same, come tell me. We're all trying to do the same thing here.
Yeah, let's have an open-door policy. I can destroy you, I'm still the coach, and it doesn't mean I don't love you. It's like a parent, right? How many times do you say stuff to your kids that they probably don't want to hear?
A lot.
But you're still their parent, you still love them, right? You still want to see what's best for them.
Yeah, but that's the key to being a good coach, though, a good parent, is making sure that your kids have to know that you love them. Your team has to know that you love them and you're out for their best interest, and then that way when you do criticize them, they know it's for a reason.
Well, it sounds like it's water under the bridge right now, which is good.
Well, but it should be. It should be.
Of course it should be.
Like, but that's what you want, though, man. Like, you want, like, that's the kind of intensity that you want. And now let's hopefully that all the good feelings from that win in Pittsburgh carry over.
Yeah, that would be nice. I'd like to see the Jets win this game on Sunday. All right, our football picks. Let's play the sounder.
The DiPietro and Rothenberg NFL pick segment, where Dave complains about the name.
It's an awful open, but that's regardless of that.
Maybe RJ's best work.
It's better than the outfit picks, let's be honest.
The outfit picks was one of his most embarrassing moments. But we love RJ. Also, Quinnen Williams joining us was today's Jets Player Spotlight, brought to you by Pepsi. Jets fans, head over to your local grocer and stock up for Jets game day. Football watching better with Pepsi, available at ShopRite. All right, the standings, I believe, RJ, You have 5 wins, as does Rick. And Raymond and I are sitting here with 7 beautiful, bountiful victories. Is that accurate?
That's accurate.
All right, Ray, you and I are leading the charge here. Rick, you went 3-0 last week, which was sensational. Would you like to lead off, or would you like to go later on during the course of this pick segment?
I'll go later on. Okay. Let someone else have a chance.
All right, RJ, why don't you lead us off on the pick segment, your 3 games, of which you're really just throwing darts at a dartboard at this point.
Wow.
Well, buckle up, because some of these are ugly, but I love these picks. I love them. Dave and Rick, you both mentioned something over the course of this show. The less sense it makes, the more you stay away. Oh, I'm going right into it. Right into it. This one couldn't make less sense. But I actually do like this for a number of reasons. The Saints, -5. Everyone's on the Seahawks. You hear Geno Smith talk this week. He's digging him some Geno Smith. And he's been great. He really has been. But I did watch them against the Niners, and they were horrifying. So give me the Saints, -5.5. Little bit of, it's a big number. And it doesn't make a ton of sense, which actually makes me like it more. The Jets and the Dolphins.
Oh, boy.
I feel like you have a strong take one way or another about this game, how it's going to go. I love the Jets.
Wow.
Love them. Bridgewater in. And Bridgewater's actually been pretty good with numbers. He's covered quite a number of games in his career, a high percentage. But going against all of that, give me the Jets +3.5. Ton of injuries. Rick, you mentioned Tyreek Hill popped up on the injury report. They have a laundry list of injured players. Give me the Jets +3.5.
Left tackle also hurt.
Yep. Oh, and the king of, boy, this smells fishy, the Rams and the Cowboys. This, if you
don't fall for the bait, come on.
He's going to take the Rams. This is what he does now.
Okay.
Not only am I not falling for the bait, I have the fishing rod.
I'm the fisherman now.
Until I get eaten by a whale. But give me the Rams, -5.5. We think McVay and Stafford stink. All of a sudden, they won a Super Bowl 8 months ago. Give me the Rams.
Nice. And well, on that note, you
might need a wheelbarrow.
On that note, as he takes one of the great picks that we've seen here on the pick segment, Raymond J. Santiago, #6. What three-pack are you going with?
I got to tell you.
Yeah.
RJ and I might have some problems this week.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yes, head-to-head.
Here we go. Rick, we love head-to-head. Let's go.
I'm going to start down in New Orleans.
Drop the gloves.
Geno Smith. Like RJ said, Geno Smith is feeling himself. Listen, Seahawks defense has been terrible, but the offense has put up points. And, you know, Geno feels good about himself. Here's the thing about the Saints. Offensively, they're not good themselves. I think they lead the league in turnovers right now. And in terms of, I think they've got 11. It's really bad. Even the Dome is not the home field advantage it once was. 5.5. I like Seattle's chances there. Going to go with the Seahawks in that one.
Wow, look at him. He's taking the points.
I will try to make a little bit of amends with RJ in this next one. San Fran at Carolina. 6.5 for San Francisco. It's just on the line. I like it. This is a grudge match game. Nick Bosa, Baker Mayfield. Think Nick Bosa goes off in this game, plants a flag at some point. Niners win easily. Panthers are terrible.
Comfortable win. Okay.
And then we go back the other way.
I know what he's going to do. He's going to take the Cowboys.
Well, here's the thing. I do think that Sean McVay is an excellent coach. I still think the Rams are the Super Bowl champs, and they are to be respected. There's something wrong with Matt Stafford's arm, and they can deny it all they want. He has not looked good this year, and he's still taking chances as if he still has the cannon for an arm. Don't like it. Rams have been terrible in the fourth quarter all year round this year. So Dallas has – their defense has been what's kept them in all these games. And Cooper Rush is doing a good job taking care of it. If the game is close in the fourth quarter, not only do I think Dallas will cover – will win outright.
Wow.
If the game is close in the fourth quarter.
Oh, you're going to eat humble pie on Monday morning.
Listen, if I do, I do. But I don't think that this is an arrogant pick. So I will take Dallas 6 with a +5.5.
And that's Santiago 6.
The fishing poles reeled one in.
Reeled one in.
Got to be quicker than that.
Okay. All right. I'll go. And Rick, I'll let you go last since you are the one who's so red hot in the pick segment. I like that there's some love for the Jets right now. I'd even like to see the Jets win this game. but I don't think that's going to happen. Miami is a step up in class for the Jets. I worry about Zach Wilson against a better defense, a legitimate secondary. I think Miami's offensive speed is just, it's a lot to handle. I will take Miami and lay the 3.5 at MetLife Stadium.
Oh, you lay that 3.5. You lay game. It. Shove it right up here. You know what?
Oh, I'll shove it right up there. I'm taking all favorites this week.
Loser.
For game number two, the Bears are, it's hard to watch. The Vikings are back home. They're clearly better than Chicago. Kirk Cousins is right in that 1 o'clock wheelhouse that he's so comfortable with. I'll take it. I'll take it, and I'll go big on this one. Minnesota -7.5 at home against the Chicago
Bears.
Go
with a lot of hooks here. A lot of hooks.
And then for my finale, I see what they're trying to do. I stare Vegas in the eye, and I wink. And I say, I, too, will take the Super Bowl champion, L.A. Rams. This is when they try on the glass slipper one more time, and it just doesn't fit. Cooper Rush comes back to life. The Rams beat up on the Cowboys. I'll take the Rams and lay the 5.5. Those are my three.
Wow.
Babies.
Wow, a lot of in-depth analysis today on the pick segment.
A lot of in-depth analysis.
All right, here we go. Coming off a 3-0 week, I will start with the Baltimore Ravens. It's going to be a good game. I'm playing this game because it's going to only add to the excitement of this game. I will lay the 3 points.
There's been a lot of good analysis, and that's your analysis for the game?
Well, no, I was looking for the number to make sure it was still at 3. No, my analysis of this game is that I think Baltimore is one of the better teams in the NFL. No, there's no question that if they're going to win this division, they're going to have to beat Cincinnati. They got thumped by Cincinnati both times last season. I just think that Lamar Jackson is playing at a MVP-type level, and at some point, I mean, at home, they're going to have to hold on to one of these leads. So I'm going to go with Baltimore. I'll lay the 3 points.
I actually like that pick for you.
Yes. Yeah. With my second pick, I am going to go with Bailey Zappe. I'm going to take New England at home against Detroit. DeAndre Swift is out. St. Brown has not practiced. It looks like he may be out. They have a bye week coming up, so maybe they rest him. The Detroit defense stinks. I know New England's not great, but I take New England at home to win. They got to win this game, so I'll take New England. I'll lay the 3 points with New England. And then with my final pick, there's a lot going on in Tampa. They were displaced in Miami. They came back, and they got embarrassed. Their defense got embarrassed. Before that game, they had said Tampa's defense was the best defense in the NFL. They got embarrassed. What do great teams do? When they get embarrassed, they bounce back. Tom Brady's got a lot of stuff going on. Wide receivers are getting healthy. The number went up. Number started at 8. It's now 9.5. I don't care. The win by at least 10. Give me Tampa, and I'll lay the 9.5.
Lovely. Well done by you, taking all the favorites. Really going out on a limb. But
as if you didn't take any favorites.
I did the same
either.
Thing I'm saying. All right, Raymond, quickly.
This. Still, we will survive no matter what. DNR Survivor Pool.
Sorry, whole thing's got to play. Running out of sure things, but one stands out to me. Chiefs, Raiders, give me Kansas City.
That's a terrible pick in
Survivor.
Oh, my
God. That's the one that stood out to you?
I mean, all the other ones I kind of used up already.
So. You've taken Buffalo already?
He's used Buffalo, Baltimore, Philadelphia, and Green Bay.
Minnesota's not going to win at home against the Bears.
It feels like it's setting up for the old Okie.
Santiago 6.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.